The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
I'm in good humour, even though I'm inside here in the air-conditioned studio at present. I was lucky enough to be able to take a half day this morning out for a round of golf in the beautiful sunshine, and that's put me in a good mood that hopefully will keep me going till 7 o'clock this evening. But, of course, going out in the sunshine means we do have to take a little bit of care. Ivana Breen is a skincare expert with us. Good evening to you, Ivana. I remembered to bring the sunglasses, to wear the baseball cap, and to lather myself in sun cream this morning as a protection, having failed to do so on a previous visit to the golf course earlier this year in the bright sunshine. But if people do forget to protect themselves and they're suddenly realising now that they may have burnt themselves a bit during the day, what do they do to try and mitigate the damage?
Good evening, Matt, and I'm delighted to hear you had such a lovely morning. I wish I had been out in the golf course this morning. There's lots you can do. The first and foremost, what you need to do if you feel like you've been out in the sun for too long, you need to get out of the sun as soon as you can. And you want to try and keep your skin cool. So have a cold shower to cool down, but you don't want to spend too long. As if you do spend too long in a cold shower, you can further dehydrate your skin. Or alternatively, you could use a cold compress on the area to take the heat out of the skin. You want to be using something like a water-based moisturiser as opposed to an oil-based moisturizer to keep the skin hydrated. An oil will tend to trap the heat and make the burn worse, so avoid anything with petroleum or lidocaine or benzocaine. There's some great products out there, the great after sun lotion, so make sure you go into your pharmacy and get one of them. But taking an anti-inflammatory such as ibuprofen or aspirin is also going to be good, because it's going to help calm the inflammation in the skin that you've caused. And then in your pharmacy, again, if you go in and get it, maybe a 1% hydrocortisone over the counter, you can get that without prescription. And that should only be used for a couple of days, but it will help to calm inflammation and soothe sore skin. And most importantly, you want to stay hydrated. Keep drinking water at regular intervals throughout the day. The skin has suffered a burn, so it's losing moisture, and you want to try and replenish that hydration and replenish your hydration levels.
In what circumstances should people seek medical help?
I guess if the skin blisters and there's a potential for the blistering to become infected, you really want to go then. I think your first port of call should always be to your pharmacist, and they'll give you advice as to whether or not you need to be referred on to your GP.
Okay, because a lot of people then, what as well if they feel dehydrated? What do they do? Is just simply drinking water throughout the evening into the small hours of the morning, is that going to be enough to help them out?
Yeah, that should be. I mean, even taking a Dioralite or something like that is going to help to replenish the hydration levels. But yeah, keep getting the water into you. I mean, if you're doing that throughout the day anyway, if you do happen to get caught with a sunburn, you don't have to get caught by being dehydrated. You know, if you're constantly drinking water throughout the day, that'll keep that to a minimum.
Of course, that happens if you've allowed yourself to get burned. How do you protect yourself at a time? And I suppose we're doing this because today we're hearing that there are high temperature weather alerts being issued by Met Air, and that the heat that we're having is on abnormally high side for us here in Ireland. So what are the most important things to do when a lot of people want to be out and about enjoying as much of the sunshine as possible?
So, I mean, ideally, you want to enjoy the sunshine outside of the hours of 11 and 3. So, in other words, get up and get out early to go and play your golf early in the morning, get to the beach early in the morning and leave before midday. And then again, later in the evening, get outdoors again later in the evening. So become Mediterranean, have your little mid-afternoon indoors. So between the hours of 11 and 3, try and avoid being outdoors for long periods of time. If you're lucky enough that you can get to the beach, you want to try and get some shelter. Somebody said to me today, they didn't like going to the beach because they can never get shelter. So if you are going to the beach, bring a brolly, bring a tent, make sure that there is some form of shelter if you want to spend the day there, and that you are seeking shade as much as you possibly can. You don't want to be in direct sunlight for long periods of time, both for the risks of burning, but also for the risk of aging the skin and the UV damage that can do. And there's always the potential, you know, any more than two burns over a two-year period increases your risk factor of cancer enormously. So you want to avoid that as much as possible. Wearing clothing is probably the best way to prevent the skin from getting sunburnt, and long, loose linen, white linen clothing is fantastic, and it's incredibly fashionable as well.
Because lots of people take this as an opportunity to get rid of as many clothes as possible. But you're saying if people are looking for that sort of sunsuit look, that they should maybe restrict that to a small amount of time?
To restrict
the amount of time that they are actually showing bare flesh if they're in their swimsuit or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Restrict that time. So if you are going to the beach and you're in a swimsuit, you know, bring a linen shirt for the guys, or a linen top for the ladies, or a long linen dress that you can just throw over your swimsuit once you're out of the water, and really try and minimise the time that your skin is directly exposed to UV light.
One last one for you, Ivana Breen. What about what somebody describes as a prickle heat rash?
Yeah. So prickly heat is something that some people will suffer if they have sensitive skin. And really, you need to just try and keep your body temperature cool. And you can do that by drinking lots of water, staying hydrated, not wearing tight-fitting clothing, using deodorant on areas like the backs of the knee and underarms, and even between the legs where that irritation, that friction can cause irritation. Taking anti-inflammatories can help with that. And if it becomes prolonged, then I would suggest treating it with a steroid cream. Again, that's where you'd go to your pharmacist and get it there.
Ivana Breen, thank you very much for joining us. Charles Cosgrave, is the co-owner of MD of Village Vets. Charles, to start, can dogs and cats get sunburnt?
Good evening, Matt. Yes, they can, but more so they suffer from heat stress or heat stroke. And heat stress can be quite minor, and starting with panting and progressing to sort of lethargy and onto vomiting and diarrhea, where you're into heat stroke territory. Cats are the same. But they can also get white coloured cats, especially around the tips of their ears where there's less hair. They can actually get skin cancer. So going back to what Ivana said there, it's a very similar process. You know, they can, if they get sunburned at all over a period of time, they can develop skin cancer on the tips of their ears or in other parts of their body. And that appears like black scale or black tiny scabs. And often it looks reasonably innocuous until it starts to grow into bigger clumps and then starts to eat away at the ear. And unfortunately, skin cancer in pets, especially cats, is very, very serious and can often be life-threatening. Similarly with heat stroke, you know, again, it can accelerate very, very quickly and cause a pet to collapse and go into a coma-like state. And at that point, you know, going into your vet obviously is critical, or the time that you get into your vet is critical, and seek treatment is really, really important. And we're seeing a lot of that at the moment, actually, in our Village Vets clinics, where clients are coming back from the beach, and unloading the car, or maybe coming back from the shopping and unloading the car, and they leave the doors of their car open, and unbeknownst to anyone, the family pet, the family dog, jumps into the car, because normally they're used to going in the car, and they're jumping in, and then between everyone sort of unpacking the bags and getting the car unloaded, they close the door behind them. And we have seen some pets been locked into cars through no fault of anybody's, and been in the car for maybe half an hour or 40 minutes before anyone realises. So families are very distressed, obviously, and the pets have come into us quite poorly. So we just ask people to be ever so vigilant when they're unpacking their cars and making sure that pets aren't near any vehicles during the day.
Okay, I suppose my focus tends to be on dogs, as I have a dog, but I even noticed in the early hours of this morning the dog was actually panting because of the heat even during the night. What do you do for a dog in a situation like that other than try and persuade it to drink some water?
Well, like we ask people, please do not exercise your pets at the moment. If you have to do it, try and do it outside of the before 8 o'clock in the morning or after 8 or 9 o'clock in the evening, depending how warm it is. But I think tonight's temperatures are going to be 20 degrees, and that's normally a good summer's day in Ireland. And now we're looking at that as we go to bed. So we're asking people not to exercise their dogs. We can, like Ivana said again, we can take off our clothes, take off t-shirt, take off layers, and pets can't do that because they've got big, heavy coats of hair, and they're at the same level of hair all year round.
Sorry, are they? Because what about dogs that get groomed? Is there not an argument for maybe getting the coats cut back a little bit, getting their hair cut?
Yeah, well, you can get your dog groomed, but unfortunately the groomers are booked out for about 2 or 3 weeks. They're trying to do something in the immediate term, like, you know, you want to do something today or tomorrow when it gets really, really warm. We're asking people to bring the dogs into the cold area of the house that isn't south-facing or west-facing, and make sure they're on tiles, make sure, or floorboards, that's cool. Make sure there's fans in the area, plenty of water, ice cubes. And some dogs, if you have a paddling pool, bring them outside and get them into the paddling pool and hose them down. It's going to be messy and you have to bring that dog in. They're going to shake all over the house and be wet, but that's okay. That's better than the alternative. So please, you know, watch out for that and try and keep your dogs cool. And then also, you know, some people do have tarmac driveways or tarmac areas in the backs of their gardens where the dogs are. And again, we have seen some dogs come into us in village vets where they have tar. The tar has got so hot that it's melted and it's stuck to their paws, and they've got tar burn on their paws. So equally as traumatic. So these are all little small things that we don't think about until they become an issue, and it's a real problem at the moment.
All right, thank you very much for joining us, Charles Cosgrave from Village Vets. And briefly to Noel Gibbons, Road Safety Officer in Mayo County Council. You're concerned about road behaviour in the hot weather. Why so, Noel?
Good evening, Matt. Yes, when temperatures rise, tempers also can rise. So the warm weather and congestion on the roads increase the likelihood of road rage. So we're advising motorists that if they feel stressed, to pull in for a break and get out and stretch the legs. Also make sure that they're well hydrated. And as Yvonne said earlier, it's very important as well to be conscious of clothing and also footwear. That if you're driving, make sure that you're not using loose-fitting sandals or flip-flops or bare feet. All this will affect your ability to control the pedals. So again, have another different pair of shoes if you're driving. And again, be conscious as well of, as your previous speaker there spoke about, bitumen melting. This can also happen on a minor road as well, that with high temperatures, that bitumen is starting to melt on those roads. And that can affect the braking, stopping distances of vehicles.
I'd imagine, Noel, one other thing is that you've lots of beautiful beaches in County Mayo, like there are all around the country. There might be quite a bit of road rage going on as people try and get parking near to the beaches, or as they try and get out past the traffic when they're leaving the beach.
Exactly. It's, Matt, here at the Mayo Communications Office, we've sent out reminders for the last few weeks in relation to people who are on staycations to make sure that they're aware where they are parking, that they're not blocking an access to a farm yard or to fields where people are making a livelihood or parking on footpaths. So be very conscious. And also, they can be a hindrance to any emergency vehicles trying to go to an instant. So be very conscious of where they park. But again, we have the doors open to all staycationers around the country to come to Mayo.
Noel Givens, Road Safety Officer, Mayo County Council, thank you for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.